Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Herd Mentality. Let's go back to a time long ago, to the founding of our great country, when every farmer grew the plant, when America was a sane place to live and raise a family, or just raise some pot, or raise hell, that's right. Back to the 1960s, the hippies were always right about everything.
Them damn hippies. Howdy, Herds. Uh-oh. What's that? Are you somebody grunting over there? Who is that? What are we here to talk about today? Just reminding everybody, we're coming to you live in lo-fi quality, live streaming, blog talk, beautiful coverage, deep in the heart of misery. What are we talking about today? I guess I could check my calendar or look over there on that Herd Mentality at Facecrack and figure it out pretty quick. What do we got going on here in the whole wide world of sports today? Oh, I see. Birds and mammals feast on wild fruits. No, I believe that happened a day or two ago. I better check my calendar. It's a different day. Huh. All these days run together sometimes if you ain't got a calendar. All right. So today is... if you're into numbers and things like that, there's a science about it. It's called numerology. You can study up on if you got your Googler handy. But it's 7-11-17. And if you play with numbers, that's a fucking full house. So that's a pretty good poker hand, I know. Today, on the calendar, says during hot days, woodchucks stay in bins to avoid heat. And that's pretty damn close to right on target where I live anyway today. And that's pretty much what I've been doing. I ain't no woodchuck, but I got some that live here on my land that I watch. I ain't too crazy about some of their habits sometimes, but they're all right. I try to get along with everything I can, if I can. All right, then, what else do we got going on here today? Hot dog days, that's what that's about. It's hot, and it's called the dog days of summer. And the woodchucks are spending most of their time in the dens. I mean, they might be out early in the morning when it's cool and late of an evening a little bit before the sun goes down if they hungry. If they ain't hungry and they ain't thirsty, they just stay in the bin because it's off. What else is going on? Dragonfly eggs. I made a note of that. Dragonflies are out now and they're busy laying eggs and putting them back in the water to make them nymphs. That a lot of the fishes that I like to catch eat. Fly larvae, I guess they call them. Different kind of flies. All kind of flies do that. But anyway, that's going on. What else we got? Webworms. There's different kinds of webworms. This is in nature. You know, nature, the real world that we live in, and often forget about, is you quit laughing at me. Anyway, I see webworms in the tree limbs up. You know, you'll see them walking through the woods and stuff. There'll be a big, you know, cluster of webs up there. And that ain't made by spiders because they make different kinds of webs. We talked about them a little bit another show the other day. But anyway, webworms, they're making their worms, the worms are making their webs up in the tree limbs. They especially like nut trees because nut trees have nuts on them, I guess. I'm not sure. I ain't a webworm. So anyway, you'll see them clustered up in tree limbs and stuff. And they'll do it in different places. But anyway, that's part of their behavior. They're just worms. They're working their way to, you know, through the metamorphosis in order to, you know, I mean, at least them kind of worms are going to change into something else someday and come out and be that. All right, so that's about all I had to talk about today. There's always plenty of stuff to talk about. I wonder, we got a caller here. I got the mic open. Caller, welcome to the show. Do you have anything to say today? And you never know who it is. Might be somebody I know, might be somebody I don't. But who the hell are you and what the hell you want?
Well, I'm just listening. I was hoping you would talk more about the numbers, numerology, weren't you? The significance of 7-11-17.
I don't know. I'm not real studied on numerology myself. I mean, I have friends and have known friends in the past that, you know, studied it real close and proper, like, I guess. But, I mean...
Well, didn't you say there was a significance to 7-11-17?
Well, for me it is, because I like to play with numbers, and I'm just playing, but... If you put them numbers together, there's 2 7s and 3 1s, which are aces to me. And so that's a full house. Aces over sevens.
Ah.
And that's just funny. That's just funny, and I like it like that. Why?
Okay. That's the significance, okay.
Well, to me it is. I mean, now there's other people with them numbers have a whole lot more significance.
Right,
to
right, numerology.
But,
yeah, I'm not really good at that myself.
I never did. I mean, other than gambling with numbers, you know, if you gamble in a casino, it's pretty good to know something about numbers in there because they got odds and stuff to take your money away from you. But as far as math goes, I never was. I was always pretty good at it, but I never did enjoy it because it's kind of tedious for me. But
yeah.
I took all the math I needed to get through, you know, what I needed to do and get through college and get a degree and all that, you know, and what I'm good at. So I done all the math I had to, but not any more than that, math-wise. So
not
I
into
never,
doing
when,
much more.
Well, I kind of discovered numerology and things after college and a career that I quit. But, I mean, once I started reading up on it a little bit, I just said, yeah, it kind of makes sense for sure what they teach in numerology school, I guess, if you want to call it that. And so, I mean, I could lean towards believing in it, I think. I mean, maybe not as a religion, really, but there was just too much numbers and charts and I don't know. It just
too much
to
math
too
involved.
Too damn much math is right for me. Some people like math, you know. They like that. So what have you been calculating over there today with your calculator? And hell, we got every damn thing we need right in this palm of our hand nowadays.
Yeah, calculators, just access to anything you need right in the palm of your hand. But you need internet connection for some of it.
Right, that helps.
Yeah, it does. It does help. So you were talking about dragonflies.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
a little bit.
after the grass was cut today, the dragonflies were out in the yard just having a field day because all of the gnats and everything were up flying about.
Yeah.
And so,
that's why they call them dragonflies, because they're hunters out there. They eat other bugs.
Right. There must have been almost two dozen of them just having a good old time of it after the grass was cut.
Yeah, they're doing other stuff, too, to make eggs. Did you see any of them hooked up together?
Yes, I did. Thank you. I did, actually. And there's a bush over here that they tend to hook up on as well. So maybe
yeah,
I'll be seeing more dragonflies soon.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that time of year. They're going to be more and more for a while, you know, until they start. I mean, dragonflies are, you know, more or less like butterflies, only they're meat eaters and hunters. That's why they fly, you know. They can outfly
right.
about anything that they're hunting, so they're out there. I smell a hog. I know that. A hog with a big old leg. Anyway, dragonflies, yeah, they fun to watch. They kind of, unless they land, they kind of hard to catch in the picture. But if they're landed sometimes,
Oh, and they're quick. They don't stay down very long when they do land. I've tried.
Yeah, they don't hold still very long. They're in a hurry, you know, like they ain't got much time to get done what they're doing.
Right, it's like asking a hummingbird to hold still for a photo. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, they don't do that either. There ain't too damn many critters that do pose for pictures, but some of them do.
Some of them do.
I don't know. What else you want to know about dragonflies that I don't know anything about, really?
Well, I don't know.
Huh?
I heard you talk about how woodchucks, you know, stay in the den. These are the hot dog days of summer. So they stay in the dens extra long because it is so hot. But you talked about how there's woodchucks out there that you're keeping an eye on. What about those?
Well, everybody around here where I live, they call them groundhogs, you know, and they have a bunch of names for them. Posted some of
right.
it in the player. There's whistle pig. I mean, all kind of names. But anyway, it's the same critter. But I got some new neighbors that had started mowing my grass, and I got groundhogs around here because I watch them on Groundhog Day. I kind of like if I can catch one and watch him come out that day. I don't know who that Phil fucker is up in Pennsylvania doing it, but, I mean, I ain't in Pennsylvania, so my groundhogs here are different. Anyway, I like to catch them coming out that day if I can or right about that day. You know, I mean, they mark it on the calendar as February 2nd, but it's right in there. It don't always be that day when the real groundhog. Now, they pull him out of the den up there and make him do it. He probably don't like it. Every time I see him do it, he's squinting his eyes, and, you know, they think that he's talking to them, but I can look at them yahoos and tell pretty quick that they don't know how to talk to animals. Even if they knew how to talk to them, they couldn't listen to them when they talked. So, anyway, my neighbor started mowing my grass, and he uncovered their hole, their den, the mama den, and she's been around here for a few years now in different places in my backyard. Well, she had dug in under the foundation of my old chicken coop, concrete, and made her nest in there this year. And when he mowed, he uncovered it. And him and his wife would stand out on their deck and watch the little baby groundhogs play in the evening. You know, they'd come out and the little baby groundhogs would eat them clover flowers, them white clover. that's,
yeah,
you know, maybe them, and
right.
they watched them and had a big old time. But, you know, there's a lot of people, if they see a groundhog, and it's most people around here, they're in a hurry to get rid of that thing because they can cause trouble, you know, if depending on, you know, farmers don't like them in their pastures because they, you know, they, if they're grow, I mean, in their pastures, it's either cattle or horses. Groundhogs, you know, make big burrows and they make a big hole, and animal like that step in it and, you know, might even break his leg, if not hurt it. You know, it'll hurt, you know, they can hurt critters. So farmers don't like them like that. Crop farmers don't like them in their fields because, you know, what they're doing in their fields is they're eating their crops. Is what they're doing.
Right.
They can eat a bunch
right.
of that. So let's see, whatever. Anyway, and in your homes, in your houses, in your, you know, underground, they'll burrow under a foundation and, you know, hell, fuck up a whole basement and stuff if you don't get, you know, get rid of them or keep them out of there somehow. But there's all kinds
so
of
So do you still have those there, there then? Those groundhogs, are they still
no,
there?
No, I believe, I know all the kit ran off, which that's what the mama does. They run them off. They only keep them around for a couple of months and, you know, nurse them and teach them how to eat. And then they're gone off on their own. And I think that'll... And with that den exposed all out in the open like that, I mean, the groundhog don't really like that, especially if it's around a bunch of people, you know.
Yeah,
usually out to get rid of the groundhog. Not like me. I kind of try to cooperate with things if they want to come around. But anyway, I believe that thing is living over under my neighbor's storage shed now, but I'm not sure. I've seen it over there couple times since the little one's gone. So I believe after the little one's got gone, Mama said, you know, I don't really like this joint so much in here because that it's right out here in the open. Everybody can see it, you know. So anyway, I believe she's moved on. I'll find out one of these days if I need to.
Right.
But you ought to go out. Groundhogs are done doing their deal. And we're coming just about up to, what do we got here, a couple minutes till tea time, I think. So we're about ready to take a break and have a little tea. What else did I? There was something else. Anyway, if you're following us in the Herd Mentality group over on that Face Crack, I posted a little clipboard, I called it, note, in
okay.
the production part of the show there, someplace. I've lost track. Oh, it's under the Lounging Wolf on the Park Bench thing, and it's from the Humane Society, and they in there, they kind of tell people, you know, I mean, there's a lot of ways to deal with groundhogs and prevent groundhogs from doing their kind of destruction. But anyway, that all that information's there, and you can check it out. And in the meantime, I am going to have a little tea, and I suggest anybody and everybody do that too.
No, it's creepy, Harry. The shit is starting. Yes, sorry, I'm the Herd. Say, get some started, you idiot. Hurry up and get us started. That's so fucking.
got tired of that Marson. I don't know about him. You know, every time he comes in here, he's always over spitting and sputtering about this time of day, trying to get his car started. And at the end of it, he gets pissed off and he calls me names. And I ain't that crazy about that. So I might fire that Martian here if you don't start talking different in a minute. We got somebody else on the, got their microphone open over there. I don't know if you're muted or whatever, but it'd be about your turn to play if you want to. It's the Rocker Man! Are you talking to me?
I guess. You're talking back.
Well, you were talking about groundhogs, man. Do you go out and look on St. Patrick's Day? Do you go catch a leprechaun out there?
No, I can't even hear this guy. Where's he coming from?
It's the Rocker, man!
All right, well, rock on, buddy.
You know what they make with that, you know, those groundhogs? Sausage.
Sausage?
Yeah,
groundhog sausage? Are you kidding me?
Oh, man, I'm going to have to.
Is that what
you've
been eating? Sound funny. Groundhog sausage. I ain't never had that, I don't believe. How do you make it? Hey, Rocker, where are you getting that sausage at? Because it's doing something weird.
The rocker is off his rocker, his bloody rocker. He's gone. This is Professor Zimichowski, and I'm telling you about dragonflies.
Right,
dragonflies have a pupa stage that's called a helgramite. Did you discuss the helgramite?
That's a damn fancy word, ain't it? Where'd you get that?
It's not a fancy word, sir. It's a helgramite.
Hmm. Helgramite. Well, that's a particular kind of dragonfly larval stage.
Oh, it's not all species of dragonfly.
Not all of them, right. Well, what are you going to teach me something about dragonflies?
No.
Well, at some point in time on this trail ride, maybe today we ought to talk about, you know, where we're going. We're always headed towards the hemp home. I think we're going home to the land of hemp if we can get there. Right? Anyway, are we going to take groundhog sausage with us along the way and eat helgramites and dragonflies and stuff?
What does the helgramite eat?
I use it for bait and catch me a fish.
What does a helgramite eat, sir?
What do they eat?
Yeah.
They eat anything they can find on the bottom of the creek they're in or wherever. They ain't too picky. Why? You know more about them than that is?
No. Apparently not.
Well,
apparently not.
I just said that Professor
Helgramite.
Well, what do they eat?
Tell us about the other dragonflies and how the wings.
Oh, the ones that are flying?
No, the ones that aren't Helgramite.
The ones that are helgramites. Well, okay, yeah.
Helgramites.
Yeah, the flying part of it. Yeah, that metamorphosis is
tricky on critters. I know that. But anyway, the flying thing, the dragonfly, that's the adult stage, and they're hunting and they're eating and they're mating, and they eat other insects that fly. And so they have adapted, I mean back way back when Moby Dick was just, you know, a dinosaur, there was big ass dragonflies flying around evidently because they found fossils of them. But they fly, they can fly up, down, sideways, backwards, I mean, about like a hummingbird, more or less, probably maybe a little better and quicker.
At the reproductive stage in this Elgramite era, could you go into that further? And why some dragonflies, well, the whole part, all of it, dragonflies.
Okay, well, I'm pretty sure we already did that. Okay, after they're done flying around, mating and eating bugs, the females go and land on the water and deposit their eggs in there, and then the eggs float down to the bottom. And the eggs hatch out and begin the larval stages of metamorphosis. Now, with aquatic insects or their larvae, they don't, well, they can. I mean, I guess if you're talking about the Helgramite maybe being the pupal form, like you can find them underneath, under rocks and stuff in the creeks, and, you know, they take some rocks.
Yes, in your fast-moving, clear creeks of mid-Missouri.
Well, all over, anywhere where there's fast moving water, they like. Yeah, well, anyway, they make a little, I don't know, it's kind of like a cocoon, I guess, if you want to compare it to butterflies, but they live in there, and that's where they're staying. They've already eat all they can get, and they're in the winter. They're under them rocks waiting for now, about, to come out of that water, and then they'll, you know, it takes them a little while. They come out and float to the surface, and then they, you know, get their wings out.
But when they're the Helgramites, the Helgramite under the rock, they're like a ferocious wolf pack.
Oh, yeah.
Of ferocious.
Yeah, they kill it.
And this is all dragonflies, correct?
Yeah.
You all dragonflies.
Yeah, they're killers.
The Helgramite. To hell with the Helgramite. I'm sorry you've already covered some territory. My son, the Rocka, had stolen my phone and I couldn't get in. So, okay, good sir.
You've obviously not beat that kid off of me.
Pardon?
Anyway, Yeah, we're. I just got the cue. We're about a little, about a minute, a little more until we're going to break out of here.
Tally ho! So, thanks everybody for playing along today. If you like what you heard, tell the rest of your herd, and bring some with you next time if you want to. And like I try to always say, I'm always here at home till closing time, and we're always here on the radio whenever we want to be, which is usually about the same day a week and about the same time of day, depending on where you are. And I ain't going to play time zones with people because that shit gets confusing real quick. So if you want to listen, listen. If you want to call, call, and we're good either way. Thanks for playing along. We're going to go into overtime here, and I'm going to knock us out with a little something, I think. But I don't know what it is.
It's the Herd Mentality.
All right.
I've seen a dragonfly, and I've seen a house fly.
But I ain't never seen no elephant fly.
I saw a house fly on Wizard of Oz when I was a kid.
And I seen a horse fly.
I seen a lot of them. If some bitches bite you, it fucking hurts. Draw blood. Because we ain't got the hide a horse got. It hurts. It hurts a horse, too, because they don't like it either.
Yes, sir. Just think if horse flies were as big as those dragonflies from the prehistoric Jurassic period.
Yeah, dangerous. This time of year, it'd be pretty dangerous out there if you wasn't
their
careful.
Stinger would be so large, they couldn't stab you with it. You could ride on it, their stinger.
That ain't no damn stinger.
They're proboscis. They're giant proboscis, like you have, my friend.
Yeah, they got a long tongue. Most of them kind of bugs do. They don't eat flowers. They eat meat. That's why if they was big, hey, guess what? If they're bigger than you, then you're meat. And they'll eat you if they can. If you ain't careful. Yeah, you should have come around. Should have come around and seen the groundhog business. I think it's all over with for me here. I see the old lady, Mama Groundhog, once in a while now, but not for a while because it's too damn hot to go out and watch.
And what does the groundhog eat, sir?
Plants.
Pardon?
Plants.
Tubers.
They're herbivores. Yeah, they're herbivores.
Like a
potato. And they're not real picky. I mean, if they'll eat whatever, you know, they'll eat grass, they'll eat little trees, and I mean, they're woodchucks. They'll gnaw on tree bark. I mean, that's kind of how they got their name. They ain't like a beaver and cutting trees down and making dams with them. But they're kind of like that. And they'll get into the farmer's crops.
A beaver. Something akin to our wombat. Something akin to our wombat, your beaver.
Beaver and a wombat. Boy, that'd be a hell of a battle, I believe.
Oh, who could eat a wombat? The cuddly creature.
I don't know. It looked like they might make a pretty good ham or bacon. They shaped about
the
like...
cuddly creature from the continent down under.
Yeah.
Who could eat a beaver, sir? A beaver on the barbie, really?
Well, leave I believe you can eat them, and I've seen people eat them. I don't think I've ever eaten beaver, but, well, I mean, you know, but.
Well, sir, why do you?
Huh?
Why do you have nothing?
Why do I have to go there? Because I'm a guy. I can't help it a lot of times.
Leave it to beaver, sir.
Leave it to Beaver. Let's go there. Hey, June, like your pearls. Fancy high heels in the kitchen that night.
One of your all-time American TV shows, Beaver Cleavage, right? The Cleavage?
Well, there was a... Almost. You're pretty close. Beaver Cleaver, which is a different utensil.
Cleaver, a butchering device.
Now, you can make cleavage happen with a cleaver, I think, because, you know, like rocks, crystals especially, have cleavage points. I mean, that's how they make diamonds, you know, out of just a rock, which most people can step on. Most people can step on a diamond and not even know it.
Yes, you're a diamond in the rough, sir.
So you could take a cleaver and make cleavage, but her name was Cleaver, and it was Leave It to Beaver Cleaver, not cleavage. But and back in them days, there really wasn't too much cleavage on TV. But
You're a diamond in the rough yourself, and you need to be taking a cleavage too. A cleaver needs to cleavage.
You can kiss my ass. I don't want to sparkle that bright.
And this so-called beaver, he had a brother named Wally. Wally and
Walleye.
Walleye.
Walleye always, Wally. Walleye, you know, walleye, if you ain't never ate walleye, anybody might ever listen to this, it's good. It's about the best fish you can eat. One of them, anyway. I mean, I like fish. I like to eat fish. But that walleye, that's the dandy for sure. But anyway, Wally, what about Wally?
Wally.
I think
Wally,
you can find plenty of Wallys out to that world we got. Everywhere you go nowadays, if you want to find one, they're out there, maybe.
Wally. Eddie Haskell. That's the bloke I'm thinking of. Eddie Haskell.
Yeah, he might have been a bloke.
And the so-called Lumpy. Lumpy, a very strange proper name in America.
That's
Lumpy.
Dirty pool. That's almost dirty pool.
I believe you knew
it,
Lumpy.
Yeah, there's an old boy hung around in my, I don't know what you call it. We didn't have gangs and shit. Cliques, group, whatever. I mean, my neighborhood, city. And had an old boy we called Lumpy. And his biggest claim to fame was he's a pretty good sized fella. He's strong as an ox, you know. He's a pretty good sized guy. But his biggest claim to fame, as far as I know at this date, is one night. I'll tell this story real quick. One night we was out under the streetlight, and we had this old man in the neighborhood that he did. I mean, you couldn't cut through his yard because he'd come out and bitch at you. Like, if you was out on his yard, he'd come run you off. And I'm getting about to where I know how he feels now. But we was kids and stupid, and he's an old man and didn't want us trampling his grass down, and I get that now. But anyway, we didn't like it. And we was out under the streetlight one night in the dark, and we, you know, it's summertime. We gathered up a bunch of walnuts, green ones, and we was throwing them at his house. And, you know, of course, that old Lumpy, he being strong as an ox, he could throw farther and harder than anybody else at that age, for sure. Well, I don't know how many times we hit the old boy's house with walnuts, and I don't know, there's three or four of us out there doing it. And we's right under the streetlight. Anyway, he come out of there, and he said, "Who's throwing stuff at my house?" And Lumpy popped up right away and said, "We didn't throw any walnuts." And then we all ran, and Lumpy stood there for a little bit, and he finally started running and maybe caught up with us down in the ditch where we used to hide. But, yeah, he come out of there, and old Lumpy said, "We didn't throw no walnuts," and we made fun of him and still do to this day for doing that because it's funny.
It sounds so much like a Leave It to Beaver episode.
Yeah. The old man never said much about walnuts. But I don't know, them walnuts, when they're green like that, they're pretty hard. You wouldn't want to get hit in the head with one.
It's about the walnuts. Are they ripe this time of year? Will there be a nut inside the walnut if you break it open now?
Will there be a nut inside the walnut? Yes.
A mature edible spelbird.
Yes, there will. There will be. And now you can eat them now. Once they hit the ground, I mean, they're done with that part, but probably don't want to eat green walnuts for sure, but they'll start that outer green covering before you get down to the nut. They'll, as they're on the ground, that'll start decaying and deteriorating away and hardening the shell even more and more to survive through the winter. And after it's all black and nasty, the outer green part, and the walnut inside, which here is black walnuts where I live, and that you can tell it's turned black, and that's when they husk them off and make the walnuts, and then they crack them up.
The green covering.
The
green covering tannin.
Yeah, you can do that. You can do a lot of stuff with that stuff. It's pretty. It's got medicinal values, and the tannins in it they use to tan hides. You know, tannin hides is for that.
Oh yeah.
And
one of our great favorites down under here. Tan me hide when I die, Clyde. Tan me hide when I die. So we tanned his hide when he died, Clyde, and now it's hanging in the shed. Ah, tannin. Ah, I love being down under with the beaver.
Anyway, you can also use that. I mean, and you can use it. People can use it if you got walnuts, and once that stuff turns black, I mean, if you pick them up, and even now, if you touch them, the green part, that makes a color, and you can, that'll dye, I mean, it'll dye your skin, it'll dye fabric, it'll, you know, whatever. And it tans the hides. Like right now, if you use tan hides, you would want the green part more than the other.
Oh, yes. I'm tanning hides daily. I'm like Buffalo Bill.
I ain't got no hides to tan. I try to let other people do that.
What's the lotion on the...
So, I have to say, I've talked a lot about walnuts and other nuts in my career, but I'll have to say you are one of the biggest nuts that I have yet... have met, failed to meet.
Well, yes, thank you. That's a hell of a compliment.
That's true. That's right. Green nut. Yeah, the greenest.
I don't know about that part. But they was at one time, I know.
So I have to go. The rocker is calling me. I have to take him to his dental appointment. The rocker. All right,
then they're going to break us out of here in a minute or so anyway. So we're about all
done.
Well,
you're going to do your theme song to leave the show. You're going to do the herd mentality song.
Yeah.
Oh, my favorite. It's the rocker's favorite. The rocker loves it.
We'll get out of here. Thanks, everybody. We'll see y'all next time.